Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Thomas Watson here at the historic Clay County Courthouse, right in the middle of the square in Salina, Tennessee, coming to you live and in living color this morning here on your radio on WVFB-FM 101.5, Kicks Country. We're glad to be back with you this morning. We've got some great guests lined up this morning, and a little bit of local news, the happenings going on, the Christmas celebration that we're right in the middle of. Right now, we'll get everything lined up here and get ready to crank up here just in a second. But right now, we'll take a little short break and a little bit more intro work, and we'll be back with you just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Closure. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter paint dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back, everyone, back here at the historic Clay County Courthouse. And I'd like to remind everyone that to make sure you get out through this Christmas season and spend some of your money with our sponsors here. They'd love to see you come in. And Mr. Sponsors, if you're listening to this, or people in our potential sponsors, if you are listening, other people are also. So if you need to get your message out, speak to John at the radio station and get you a spot here on the Clay County Corner. Right now with me here, I have, I don't really know how to introduce him. He is a former student. I think the first time I ever heard of him, he was maybe in my wife's seventh grade social studies class, and we used to do a little musical show here, and she was telling me about this young fella in there that loved to bring his guitar to class and pick and sing instead of worrying about Tennessee history, Mr. Wendell Cherry.
How you doing, Thomas? It's not nice to be here today, and Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
And to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Wendell, I know, like I said, I really became acquainted with you as a student a few years later, but I know that you would sit up on a little stool down there in the seventh grade classroom and pick and sing. Can you remember maybe the first thing you ever picked?
Yeah, the Wild Rose Flower was probably the first thing, probably in phase class, probably. And you know, those E-Hall shows that we did in high school and stuff like that, I think they kept me in school and gave me a lot of confidence and stuff. And I know I had a class under you in drama, and you used to bring in all these weird album stuff, and I think, Jesus, that's the worst sound of stuff I've ever heard. And now about all I play is that same type of stuff.
I distinctly remember one song I picked out for you once. I think it was a very obscure Jackson Brown song or something or other that you just hated.
Yep.
And I think probably one of our all-time greatest song really we ever had on our programs.
Right, that's right. That's right. But I learned a lot. I think we have a little local TV station here, and I do some little soundtracks on that too. So that was kind of my first introduction into kind of studio work and stuff. So there was a lot of good that come out of those classes and those shows that really helped set me on the right track for a career in the music.
Yeah, I know, and that's coming from Clay County. I know we've had a few people that have made it out that way, but it seemed like you were just kind of overnight from all your hard work. You left high school and really went out on the road.
Yeah, I knew very early on exactly what I was going to do. There were never any doubts, a lot of it was just through ignorance. I just didn't know any better to be afraid. And stuff, but I think I graduated on a Friday night and had an audition on Sunday, and I moved to Nashville on Monday and stuff. So it all happened real fast, and I packed my bags on Sunday afternoon, and they've been packed ever since, I guess.
Well, your first tour you ever went on, was that sort of an eye-opener?
Yeah. It was, of course, being from Clay County, and I'd never even been to the city before. And I think I drove to town in a $600 Ford Torino that I'd bought. And it was, one of the first times I played the Opry, and this was early on, I auditioned for an Opry act called The Four Guys. And stuff. And so I got that job. It was on Sunday, and they called and wanted me to audition, and my dad was talking to him, and he said, well, we're going to have to go to church first. And I said, well, okay. And so we got down there about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I auditioned. And it just so happened every song they called, I knew. And I was acting like I could read music, and I couldn't read the notes, still can't. And on the drive back home, they called and talked to my mother and said, well, he's got the job, have him come back. But one of the first nights I was on the Opry, Johnny Russell and a bunch of the staff band stuff invited me to eat with them at Shoney's there, right beside the Opry House. And this is about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I go out and I played the first night, and I played horrible. I was so scared to death, shaking.
Surely not.
Oh, absolutely. And so I go in and eat with them, and I go out and to crank the old car. Well, the car didn't crank. And Jimmy Capps, who's still on the Opry and
guitar player,
yeah, and he's played on hundreds of hits through the years, and he's still there. He doesn't know me from Adam, and he says, well, you can stay at my house tonight, and then I'll bring you back out here, and then we'll get your car fixed and stuff. So I go to his house, stay the night, and I call my dad, and my uncle come down, and the timing chain had fell off in the Shoney's parking lot the first night there. So that was my start. So
did you tour with the Four Guys or just
They had a place in Nashville called the Harmony House.
I remember that.
And so we played there, and we played around town a lot, and we did do some short tours, but not like like somebody might envision as tours. They were mainly an Opry act and stuff, but that gave me a great lead into and access to a lot of other people that was playing and stuff, so really helped me out in the early years.
Okay, and just how old were you at this time?
I was maybe 18.
You had maybe turned 18.
Yeah, I remember one of the first jobs I played was at the Roadway Inn. It was called The Roof on 2nd Avenue, and I'd never seen a skyscraper before, and I was so young that I would play a set there, and I'd have to sit on a stool in the corner because I was actually too young to be in there, so I'd have to sit on a stool in the corner like a little pigeon.
You didn't get a stiff neck from looking up at all the buildings, did you?
No.
No. I know. Just a funny thought that hit me. I remember once a student that looked up in one of the big buildings in New York City, mm-hmm. and the first thing that hit his mind was, boy, I'd sure hate to have hang back her in that place.
That's right.
I'm sure maybe that may be one of the thoughts that maybe just along those lines.
Absolutely.
But Wendell, I know... that we're going to get back in just a second and talk about some of your road work.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, I guess we need to take a little sponsor break
all
here
right.
just for a second. And I know you're familiar with the business and you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Patient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center in Salina, Tennessee.
Back, everyone, here to the historic Clay County Courthouse here in Salina on the square. I've got with me this morning Wendell Cherry, and Wendell, there's something that I want to talk a little bit about. I know you said that you didn't read music, but I remember you and, of course, Mr. Mayfield Brown, who is a tremendous piano player and guitar player, harmonica, and all those things, and I don't think he read music either, and I know we had a group, a little family band that we used to play with, the Cantor family from down
right,
the
right.
None of those guys read music, but they had numbers they went
that's
by.
Right.
They called it a number system, and I know I can remember listening to Mr. Brown, we would bring in a 45 record or a cassette or something, and he would listen to it a couple of times and sit down at the piano and start playing it.
Yep.
And he would look over at you and he'd say, you know, that's a number one, a number
right.
two. What was he talking about?
Well, it's actually a chord chart. And, you know, if you read sheet music, which I can't, I couldn't find a C note on one, but that's more of the tune of the song. And in Nashville, they use a numbering system, whereas it's really was developed to save time in the studio. It's if the singer singing in B flat, and then all of a sudden the singer wants to change keys, there would be hours of chart writing on studio time there. So with a number system, instead of a letter and we use a number, all you do is all the numbers stay the same, and so just in your head you change keys in your head, but you don't have to change the chart. And so that's what that was about. Very speedy, fast way to do it, and that is the main system now used and has been for, Jesus, I guess 40, 50 years. And in Nashville, they let the session players be creative and come up with their own hooks and stuff like that. So they don't really write out lines for you to play. That's why they hired you. They know how you play, and they want your signature on the song. So they don't really try to handcuff you too much to something they want you to play. They kind of turn you loose.
So it tremendous creativity.
Absolutely.
A whole bunch of people get together and create a product, and probably none of them actually know what it's going to be like when it's finished.
Rarely ever. I mean, all the sessions I did, you'd come in with a vocal and an acoustic on it or something like that, very bare bones, and then it's up to you to add all the colors to it, and that's what you get paid for there. So that's the name of the game there, and Nashville has the best players in the world. I don't care what anybody says about New York or Los Angeles, actually most of those players live in Nashville now. So Tennessee is the place for music, and always has been. It came right up through these mountains over here, and really that's where American music started, and come through the Cumberland Gap, and this is the really the birthplace of all music in this country.
Absolutely. Okay, now, Wendell, let's get back on the road a little bit.
Right.
The first road tour you made was with whom?
The Four Guys, and we went to Dayton, Ohio, and then we went to West Virginia, and I couldn't tell you the town there and stuff, but it was quite an eye-opener and stuff. So that was the first trips I made, and then I worked with a bunch of songwriters in town and stuff, and a lot of different projects. I really wanted to do studio work a lot, so I did a lot of stuff like that, studio and TV stuff. And then I believe in 1991 or 92, I went to work with a guy named Eddie Raven. That's where I probably played the longest at. Is I really loved playing this stuff. It was a lot of different kinds of stuff to play, Zydeco stuff and even his country stuff. And I think he had 7 number ones and 34 top tens in his career and stuff. So
that had to be tremendous experience from a young man from Clay County.
It absolutely was.
I know for a number of years I tried to follow you as best I could because, anytime we have a success, and I know a lot of the I would talk to people that had a little bit of insight, and they would say, while Wendell's different, a lot of these guys out on the road, and when the show's over, a lot of these guys go out and do stuff, said he tends to go back to his room and practice.
Right, that's right. I remember many shows I would play the show and go back to the room, turn on a metronome and play to the hours of the morning, but I took it serious, you don't get many opportunities in your life, and so you want to try to capitalize on those as they come along, so that's what I tried to do.
Okay, Wendell, we will let us close that part of your career.
All right.
Before we take a little bit of a break.
All right.
I think you told me once before one night you just decided, hey, I want to do something else for a little while with my life, and that was, tell me about that night.
Well, I was going to meet the bus, and we were going to Texas, I think, and I got about halfway to the bus and turned around to go back home, and it just got harder and harder, and of course I've been touring my whole life and stuff, and I turned back around and I went and I made that date, and that night I told Eddie, I said, I'm going to try this new thing I've been trying out for the last 3 or 4 years and stuff, and now if I had to make that decision I probably wouldn't make it, but I was just dumb enough to try it and stuff, but I totally changed gears, and he was very supportive, and he said, if you ever want your job back or if it don't work, you always can come back. So I shifted gears along about 2002.
And at this time, you were now a married man with a wife.
Yep, that's right.
And that, I guess that helps change your outlook on things also.
It did. I played my last show 2002, April 29th, at the Ryman Auditorium. That was the last show I played.
That's a great place to end. Isn't it?
That's about the same place I started and about the same place I ended, so it kind of come full circle there.
There couldn't be a better place.
No.
The mother church of country music, the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville.
Yeah.
Okay, right now we're going to take a little bit of a break again, and we'll be back in a minute, and now we're going to start Wendell on his career that he's kind of involved in now a little bit.
Yep.
Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for Gator Made trailers. Gator Made is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. Gator Made trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for Gator Made trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee. Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone, here to WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country here in Salina, Tennessee. Remind everyone that this program will be rebroadcast this evening, and then it's on cable TV Monday nights at sometime or other. We're kind of laid back here. We're back with Wendell, and Wendell, I think one door closes, the good Lord seems to open another.
Absolutely.
One, and I think he opened another door for you.
Yeah, sure did, and as I was playing music, I started thinking about this this morning, and I guess I started shooting and hunting when I was about 8 years old, and I started playing when I was probably 10, I'd imagine, and I always thought that I just played because our off season I could go hunting, and and so it's always been a first love of mine. And I heard the old stories about my grandfather and the old guys and stuff, and I'm just kind of captivated by that. And so shooting and hunting has always been a big love of mine. And so while I was playing, I started shooting when I was I started shooting sporting clays in 1994, and I was in a band of my own, and we were on tour, and so I didn't get to shoot much that year, but in 95 I started to shoot a lot and got very serious about it, and then and I'm still playing and still touring at this time with Eddie. And and in 1999 I won my first national championship, so about 4 years after I started, I won my first national championship, and so that got the kind of the wheels turning in that direction and stuff. And so that's kind of how all that got started. But really, shooting was probably there before the guitar was.
I remember I've seen some pictures of your uncles, mm-hmm, and your
that's
dad,
right,
and grandfather,
right,
and you know,
that's
on a bird hunt out
that's
around
exactly
Pine Hill somewhere,
that's
shooting
exactly
doves,
right,
or something.
That's right.
I know, Wendell. Let's talk a little bit about the shooting. I know you said that yours is sporting clays and you know, skeet shooting. I know a lot. I can remember ESPN used to have the National Skeet Shoot Championships,
right,
on TV.
That's right. Well, you've got, you know, you basically in this country now, for the American versions of shooting sports, you've got skeet and you've got trap and sporting clays. And skeet is shot on an 8-station field, and you know, if you shoot and the longest yardage on that is 21 yards. And it doesn't matter if you shoot skeet in Tennessee or California, those targets never change. They're set to fly at a certain speed. They fly at a certain height, and so those shots never change. So it's a learned shot. And the art of skeet is to be able, if you're going to be a champion, you've got to break 400 straight. So, and that's with a 410, 28, and 20, and 12. Trap is all a 12-gauge game, but there again, those targets are set to fly a certain speed, certain elevation. You shoot either a 16-yard line handicap or doubles or a handicap. And those are the three sports within trap. Sporting clays is kind of like golf. Sporting clays, you might shoot a target at 7 yards or 70 yards, any speed. They have them that bounce off the ground. They have targets that go straight vertical. They have targets of different sizes to kind of throw your onboard computer off. So it's trickery. And the thing about sporting clays is they hire a guy to mess you up, basically. There's about 5 or 6 really good target setters in the country, and they pay them a lot of money to come in and design courses that will foul the shooter up. So the longest target that I've shot at in competition in sporting clays that we know of, that we actually put a rangefinder on, was 104 yards, which is a mighty long way with a shotgun. Most people think it's not possible, but it is possible. And so you can shoot them right off the barrel to as far as your equipment can shoot. And so it's very much like golf. There's no two golf courses the same, and there's no two sporting events the same. So I'd probably say it's a little closer to a hunting, instinctual type of shooting more so than a fabricated skeet or trap.
Okay, so what you're saying, skeet and trap are more muscle memory.
It is, absolutely. And of course, mind control, really skeet and trap, after you learn the fundamentals, it's having the mind control to be able to break those last couple to win. That's what that's all about. That's when the game starts. And sporting clays is about shot making. Although I did shoot a couple of hundred straights this year, it's very rarely ever done, and it's not expected typically.
Okay. I know I've watched a couple of videos of you shooting and some other guys shooting, and I have trouble picking up the target
at all.
And
well, they're so far away, the camera has a hard time filming them. By the way, we will be starting a pro tour this year, I forgot to tell you, and it's going to be on ABC Sports, and that's going to be later this year. We'll shoot the first show in early April, and we've got 13 weeks on ABC Sports. Should be airing sometime in the summertime, so that'll be really good.
Hey, that's great news. Great news.
Yeah.
I know you have a tour schedule. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And like I said, I've tried to follow you over the years, and like from the time you quit music until you came up and skeet you, you kind of disappeared for a few years there. Couldn't find you. And I'd see your dad out, and he'd say, well, he's shooting shotgun.
Right.
That's basically what he said.
That's right.
And, once we look up and we say, well, Wendell's been doing a few things these past few years. And
right.
Your personality that you're not, this one headline that kind of caught my eye, I think it's on your website, and Wendell Cherry is called the Tiger Woods of sporting clays.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what he's famous for, and that's for winning about everything he gets
there,
especially in a long stretch.
That's right. And I have won just about everything in the country, more times than one. There's been one shoot I haven't been able to win, and everything else I've won 3, 4, 5 times and stuff. And so it's just been a lot of hard work and training good and taking it serious. And you have to remember, at the time I started this, there was hardly anybody doing this for a living.
And this is a profession.
It absolutely is. And stuff. And not only have I been successful in it, in 2012 I got put into the Hall of Fame, and there's only 4 shooters in that, and that's there was a guy from, his name was Herb Parsons, he's in there. Herb Parsons was just unbelievable shooter. Annie Oakley's in there, and so to have your name under the same roof as those people is a huge compliment and stuff, but my students have done well too. I think we've got 17 national championships, U.S. Open championships, 8 or 9 world championships, and so we got a very dominant crop of students as well. So probably the thing I'm most proud of is when I started shooting and taking techniques that have been taught over 100 years apart, I kind of stumbled into my own technique that I've started to teach, and I'm probably more proud of that than anything else, is to be able to kind of go against what had always been taught, come up with something that I think is better, and through my teaching and my students has proved that it is. And so that's probably my biggest accomplishment is coming up with a new technique that hopefully someday will be standardized and stuff, but I'm very proud of that.
Okay, Wendell, I know Wendell does have a website. It's real tough to remember.
Yeah.
WendellCherry.com.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All one word. And I know he did have another that had a big long tag on it, but this is pretty short.
Yeah.
Wendell is not sitting here bragging about accomplishments. This is a young man that we had to nearly beat to get in front of a microphone when he first started with him. He was a very humble young man, and he still is, but now, I mean, he is, and we're talking about, I know on his website, I looked through that thing a number of times, and beginning in 2002, he has listed the championships that he's won, you know, and since 2002, there probably hasn't been, like you said, he said maybe one event out of all of the national events, and we're not just talking about the United States. I know he was a team member that won the, I believe he said I'm supposed to call this the FITASC shooting, which
that's right,
in Spain, I believe.
That's right.
Won over the, I mean, he's Spain, England, all over Europe, probably South America,
Czech Republic.
Everywhere in the world, this has taken him all over the world, and he has accomplished beyond expectations of, I know, himself and anyone, probably anyone in the sport.
I never dreamed any of this would ever happen. I really didn't. I kind of fell into this kind of by accident, but it seems like the things that work just kind of feed themselves sometimes, and this has certainly done that. You know, I'd also like to brag on my teammates and stuff. Right now, the top 10 American shooters are and have been the best shooters in the world. So everybody can take pride in that. When you know, anytime we go to those world championships, there's 33 countries there that sends teams there. And we are rarely ever defeated. As a matter of fact, I think I've been on the teams 20 times now. And we may have lost gold twice out of 20 championships. So it's been very dominant. So everybody can take a lot of pride in how well the Americans do there, and we just got a great group of talent.
And I think you've served as captain of this team
several times.
I know. I think you aren't right now. I think you've
left. I was captain last year in Spain.
And I know also on his website there is a great clip from Delta Sports TV, and now I guess I'd say out of Louisiana, Delta, of he and one of his shooting partners, Bill McGuire.
Yep.
And if you get a chance, check out his website, check out all of the accomplishments there. And I know you do shoot occasionally fairly close to home, I think.
I do.
Nashville, places up in Kentucky.
Yep. I've got a little home range that I teach at in Scottsville, Kentucky. It's always nice to either teach at the Tennessee Clay Target Complex or Scottsville. That way I can sleep in my own bed. I'm going about 290 days a year after the season starts. So anytime I'm able to stay home, I sure like to do that.
And I do know, since you're back close to Dale Hollow, that you are trying to pick up some skills in the smallmouth
area. Well, you know, I know you had Danny Stone on here the other day, and he's been teaching me how to drown a shiner. And no, that's a joke between me and him. But he has been trying to help me a little bit, and all he said was, I better stick to the shotgun.
can you tie a line on the end of the barrel of the gun?
Maybe.
But what about, one more thing, Wendell, Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there, right?
I have been to the Olympics. I've never shot on the Olympic team, and everybody gets that confused. The Team USA, let's say that the NSCA, National Sporting Clays Association, has a Team USA, and then there's an Olympic Team USA. And the NSCA one is going to be more of a professional type of Team USA, and it is a world championship, but it is not an Olympic.
Not an Olympic event.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, I know we heard those type things.
I've heard that, and so I've never shot on the Olympic team. I have been there at the world championships, but not as an Olympic shooter.
Well, is it the same type of shooting that you guys do, or is it a different?
No, they shoot an international version of skeet and trap.
Okay.
But it's much harder than your American style of trap and skeet.
Okay, just a real quick thing on the FITASC shooting. I know this is an acronym for a bunch of French words, and
that's right.
One of us can can get through Nice Federation, I guess.
That's
on
right.
This. But tell me, I know you're standing up there with your shotgun. Mm-hmm. Is it at your shoulder to begin with?
No, that's it's mandatory that the gun has to start 10 inches off the crown of your shoulder. And you can't, and so there's a judge watching the target, and there's a judge watching you.
And then what happens?
If you move before you see the target, which a lot of people try to get a little edge that way, they'll warn you the first time, and the second time they take a target. So it's very strict. It's a French version of shooting, and it's actually the hardest game to shoot.
Okay, you're standing there, and you're sitting there in your mind. The mental part of this is, you know, you have no idea what's going to come flying across in front of
us. That's right. There's no practice. There's no viewing. As a matter of fact, you're not allowed to even view the target until your squad comes onto that field.
And then all at once, something comes flying across in front of you, and you've got to shoot that thing.
That's right.
And you got to shoot a whole bunch of them.
That's right.
Okay, and I do know that they come out in pairs, right?
Well, you'll actually get four singles, and then you'll get two pairs per peg, and there's three pegs per parkour, they call it. That's a layout. And so for a total of 25 shots and stuff. But you'll get four singles. That you can shoot at twice. And then the pairs have to be made up of those four singles.
And you're shooting a double-barrel stack shotgun, so you do have two shots.
Yep.
And I think in the pairs, do you have to shoot both of them before it counts? Or?
Oh, yeah.
So you got to hit them both.
Yep.
You can't let one of the birds get away.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
Wendell, it has been an extreme pleasure having you here this morning.
I've enjoyed it.
And you have an open invitation. We'll do a rundown on you again. And I think you've got your first tournament coming, or your first, is it a tournament, I guess?
Yeah, I start my first clinic in Florida in January, and about my first four tournaments of the year also start there. So it's kind of like golf. We start in the warm weather first.
That's the only way to do
it. That's the only way to do it.
And like I said, it's been a pleasure having you here.
I've enjoyed it.
It's always great when our folks do well, and to say that you're doing well would be a, I guess, just not very accurate. It's great. And Wendell, we will. You have a standing invitation to come back any time that you're in town. It may be this time next year before you get a day off.
That's right.
But thanks again for being here with us on the Clay County Corner. And right now we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with our next guest.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
Good afternoon, this is Elaine Closier. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter Paints dealer, where you'll find the perfect expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back, everyone, here once again to the Clay County Corner on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kick Country, coming to you, as I said before, live in a living color on your radio. I've got my second guest here. I don't know how this happened. Another former student, when I first started teaching about 12 or 15 years ago, he was one of the students I had then.
Did you say 12 or 15 years ago?
Before we get to him, I've got a few I guess a little house cleaning work here to do. I need to talk just a few minutes about the activities going on here in Salina this weekend. Our Christmas parade is scheduled for 2 o'clock Saturday, and I think we start lining up around maybe 12:30 or so, an hour and a half before the parade itself. And then at the conclusion of the parade, we've got the American Cancer Society Light a Tree, Memory Tree, that's going to be here in the courthouse patio. And then Saturday night, we've got the final performance this year of the Santa trial, and we do still have some tickets available for that. And another little thing I've got here, that junior high basketball tonight's having their they're honoring their eighth grade athletes tonight, and they're playing Hermitage Springs. That's a 6 o'clock starting time. And now I'm going to make my second straight announcement for Miss Pettigo down at the Senior Citizen Center to remind folks to come down there and take advantages of the services they have down there, the lunches they have, all the camaraderie going on there with the pitch games. And from what I hear, the ladies down there are the best pitch players apparently in Clay County. This makes two straight announcements now, and I think after the third straight announcement, the director of the Senior Citizen Center is going to come on and do a little radio interview with us. And also, a thing I got in the mail last night, I talked just for a second last week about the Scenic Byway. There's going to be another meeting on that on January the 8th in Livingston at the Chamber of Commerce there, and we'll have some more news on that, but just wanted to throw that out. Let's see, we've got the live nativities at the First Baptist Church tonight from 7 to 9. And let me pick up another piece of paper here. The winner of the senior discount raffle is Bernice Sweezy, and she has won a $25 gift certificate for Ash Lock and Strong Insurance Agency. And I've got another piece of paper here. It says Family Fun STEM Night at Salina K-8, January the 9th. 2014 from 4 to 6, and the STEM Mobile Lab from Tennessee Tech University will be at Salina K-8 as part of a tour. And this is the, Mr. Strong, what does STEM stand for?
STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics.
And there is a big-time STEM center over at Tennessee Tech, and we do have some classes out at Salina K-8 that are involved in that.
We do, and they're going to be bringing in their trailer out there and setting it up. It's a huge thing in Upper Cumberland, and we're proud to be part of that.
Okay, that was Mr. Jerry Strong, who is the director of Clay County Schools. He is the my next guest coming up, and as I said, I guess probably the first year that I taught school back in 1970.
Well, you said 12 to 15 years, and I was trying to do the math. But
neither of us are math teachers, so we'd probably get away with that.
I can remember those days up in the library when we had history class up there. Those were fun days.
They were. You guys did a good job of breaking me in. Apparently, I stayed with it a long time.
Certainly did.
And I think probably there was quite a number out of that class that actually went into education on the serious side there. I know, thinking of it, there's a high percentage of that class that actually became educators.
Well, two out of that class become director of schools. That's Alan and myself, and then large number of teachers.
I remember Sandy Burris,
Margaret Susan
Donaldson. There was a whole bunch of those, and I think probably a very high percentage of you guys eventually earned advanced degrees.
Yes,
after high school. But now, getting to the present, as I said, Jerry Strong is here with us. How long have you been at director of schools now?
Well, I've been about 18 months now. It's been a short period of time, but then the longevity of a director is only about 3 years. So in a bigger sense, I'm about halfway through my tenure as a national average.
Well, have you signed on for that long?
I think I have, after the end of this year, June 30th, I'll have two more years on my contract.
So that's going to give you your time that you...
If I'm fortunate enough to last the full tenure, yes.
On a serious side, is that long enough time to aim our schools in a certain direction and really expect success?
Well, it's not. I think when a new director comes in, they have to analyze where they're at and where the school system's at. And a lot of times directors will leave, and they'll leave the school system in very good shape. And there's not a lot of tweaking, not a lot of things that has to be done. And that's much the way I received this one. So if you're wanting to implement long-term programs, no, 3 years, 2 years is not long. Most contracts are 2 years long. And that's not really enough time to implement and see the results of anything that you might be doing. But in what we were doing, we've had so many mandates from the state that we've had to react to, I've not had the opportunity or the need to go in and do many changes in that. And so some of the things that we're doing now that's mandated, we won't see the fruits from that for many years.
So really, the way things are coming down now, short period of time to get things done, and it's turning in, like maybe as you said, instead of an action position, just a reaction position.
Oh, it is. This is ugly to say, but I'm very honest in it. People will ask, Jerry, what's your plans? What do you want to do? How are you going to do this now? Well, I'm reacting to the state. The state mandates so many things right now that the local board and the central office don't have the opportunity to make many plans and do. So we are reacting to the mandates that are coming down.
Okay, teacher turnover, Jerry. I want to let you kind of expand a little bit on how you made it into the education profession and how that affected the way you view incoming teachers now. I know you and I both did other things before we got into education. I know I entered at a younger age than you did, but you know, talk about your journey to where you're at right now, just in it.
Well, when I graduated from Tennessee Tech in 1975 with a degree in agriculture, had no intention or did not vision possibility of being in the school system and certainly not being director. And truthfully, I had worked in many occupations. Tennessee, I was an interviewer for the Tennessee Department of Employment Security. I drove a tractor trailer for a farm supply. Then I hauled heavy equipment as a truck driver for Larry Head. I did those things. And then actually a couple of things happened. I knew that Mr. McLaren would be coming up on retirement, and if I was going to teach, the only thing I wanted to teach was agriculture. And honestly, I made my decision one winter when Linda, my wife, was teaching, and she got out for Christmas and did not go back to school till February because of the snow, and I was having to work every day. I got one day off for Christmas. I said, you know, I think I want to be a teacher.
Well, that's a little bit different. It was I started teaching in 1970, and those were the days where you had to work 20 days before you got paid, and I was fresh out of college and had maybe about 12 cents in my pocket and came up here and signed a contract and went to work as a teacher, and it snowed for 15 out of the next 20 days. But now teachers do get paid automatically on a certain day of the month, just like everyone else.
They do, but you know, an initial teacher still has to wait a long time for that first check. They'll have to go through 1 month cycle before they'll earn a check. And so if you're a graduate and you owe all this money, it's still a long wait before you get your first check.
And the new teachers coming in now that haven't been out in the workplace, do you think they're as well equipped?
Thomas, this sounds like I'm going to bash teachers. I'm not. There's a huge difference in the teachers that come out today and enter the profession and what it was when you did or when I did. Our community is a rural community. It's based on agriculture. Some of those things have gone now. And many of our teachers from years ago, they would work at Oshkosh in the summertime. They would work on a farm. They would have those activities and responsibilities. Now we have a generation of teachers that a good many of them, not all, but a good many, they left high school without employment, and they managed to go to school, and they're dedicated to what they do, but they don't have that mindset of the teachers of the past. Now, that sounds ugly in one sense, but then it's a reality that we work with. The teachers that came from mine, your era, where they may be willing to donate more time after school and do things, teachers of the day, they're not so willing to do that. It's different, and again, I'm being redundant when I say it. I'm not bashing, but it is a different mindset.
So we don't have those folks that worked their 6 hours as being a teacher, which really never has been 6 hours, and then they went home and they worked another 6 hours. Getting ready for the next day, finishing up work they didn't get finished that day, and maybe that's not the work ethic we have now.
Well, it's a different work ethic, and then you have to look at our teachers we have now. They're a younger group. Many of them have children. They have families. They have a lot of stress, and there is some differences here. Now, one thing that teachers of the past had, they had their book. and they didn't have to worry about these things. They could follow their book from the beginning of the school year all the way to the end and cover the material, and they were in good shape. Now, teachers of the day, they're scrutinized much more heavily, either through evaluation or standards that they have to teach. Some of those standards, they have to align them to the book. The pressures are much more intense. They feel like they have somebody looking over the shoulder all the time. And it's not a good family atmosphere like it used to be. So while I'm saying there's a different work ethic, I'm also saying these guys are under a whole lot more pressure now than what we used to be as teachers.
Okay, well, let's take a little short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to delve into this just a little bit more, and then we're going to jump off on a few more things, Mr. Strong. But right now, we need to get in a little spot here for our sponsors. We'll be back with you just in a minute.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce two new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center in Salina, Tennessee.
Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for Gator Made trailers. Gator Made is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. Gator Made trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for Gator Made trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm sitting here with Mr. Jerry Strong, the current director of Clay County Schools, and we were getting ready to get into something. I wanted to wait till we got back off the break, and that was the effect of the Oshkosh, we'll call it the Oshkosh tragedy here in Clay County, and how that effect has affected everything in our county.
Oh, it was a huge, huge thing, and people didn't realize it. Obviously, if you're an employee of Oshkosh, that was a direct effect. You lost your job. But it went much further than that. It affected our school so greatly. At that time, and that was in the late 90s, the people at Oshkosh, they would be, a lot of them get off at 3:30, and they would be here part of the town, part of the community. We were thriving. They were banking here. They were buying their groceries here. We were a self-contained community.
We're talking about 500 or 600 people, aren't we?
We are, and in some cases more than that when you have Hermitage Springs and some of the other areas. But when we lost Oshkosh, the way it affected the schools is the money that people would donate to the schools, they were having to go outside the county then. And that money was getting eaten up in gas. The time they would donate to the school was end up in travel. And then even like learning multiplication tables and those type of things, the time that the parents would devote to that with their children, now they were getting home so late because they were working in Cookeville or somewhere else. They were doing well to fix supper and trying to get the kids to bed and start that process all over. So they weren't able to spend the time with the lessons and some of those things that they were doing for their kids. So it was a huge effect. You can even go, you can relate it to, and look back statistically where it started affecting our test scores. And it definitely affected our athletics in our school system, the loss of Oshkosh.
Okay, and I know scholarships. Oshkosh was very, very supportive of anything the education in Clay County did. I know the preschool program was for the youngsters that aren't old enough to go to school actually started with a grant from the Oshkosh folks. And we all at once, like you said, it wasn't just the loss of the primary employment, but also the co-op classes that we had. I know a lot of us remember those, that we had lots of young ladies and young men that went down to Oshkosh at 3:30 in the afternoon and worked a number of hours down there, and that were actually having to support their families at that time.
Well, they were, and the children would leave there and they'd go down to Oshkosh and work. And I guess one of the problems that may have been going on is they were working too many hours sometimes, you know, and not, maybe not getting their studies done, but that income was so important to the families. But, you know, Thomas, it was teaching those children work ethic, it was teaching them responsibility. A lot of those high school kids had their bank accounts going, and just other employees in Oshkosh was rubbing off, and that would transcend into the schools. It was a very good atmosphere at that time.
Okay, now let's change the horses again just a little bit. What about things? Since you've been director, have you had any major surprises thrown in your face all at once?
Every day. Every day is one thing. The biggest issue that we've had to face since I've become director, we knew it was coming, but that's been funding. And then with the economy in the nation, what the state has done, and I understand it, I don't agree with it, they have shifted more and more responsibility where we have to use local funding to take care of some of the programs.
And we don't have any place to get it.
We don't. Clay County, we're the third highest taxed in property tax, the third highest in the state of Tennessee. We're only behind Shelby and Davidson County in a tax rate. Now, I realize the appraisal rate has to figure into that, the amount on the appraisal, but still, with all we have, we could easily at some point become the highest taxed county in the state of Tennessee in the sense of property tax, and people in this county can't afford that.
And we're one of the lowest income, median incomes in the state of Tennessee.
It is one of the lowest, and we're, you know, and thank goodness what's happening here with the radio station being here, the three-star program, the Chamber of Commerce. There's a lot of people donating their time to try to do things to reinvigorate the economy in this community. But we're going to have something because we're leaning too much on the property tax people now to run our program.
I thought that if there's ever been a statistical study done of what the average income is from a job within Clay County. You know, I just want you to know what, how our pay compared with what the people make within the county to what they're earning outside the county these days.
Well, you can go into you can look at the school system. I'm familiar with that. Our teachers are the best paid or some of the best paid people in Clay County. But then by the same token, our teachers are some of the poorest paid nationwide. So we're at the bottom in state pay or in national pay, but yet we're the better paid in this county, which means other jobs in this county are far below what they are, would be in Knox County, Oak Ridge, even in Putnam County. So statistically, I think that information's there.
Well, Mr. Strong, looking at the old clock on the wall, Tennessee Ernie Ford may have said that years ago, right after you said, bless your little pea-picking heart. But we're about to run out of time. I had some more things I wanted to talk about. Core curriculum was one of the things, and I know we'll line you up again, get you down here another day. Snow days is something that folks are always concerned about. And also, we've got this issue that keeps coming up of charter schools and homeschooling. I know I saw a thing the other day where maybe they had a little headline in the Cookville paper about a homeschool student, and they were going to school, I forgot how many hours, 9 or 10 hours a week or something, and somebody said, well, hey, I got to teach longer than that, but it's been a pleasure having you here. And I know, once again, you have a standing invitation anytime you'd like to come by and talk to us about the schools or about anything. I know... You do make for some interesting conversations sometimes, and maybe we'll get some of those on the air one of these days.
Well, we'll try not to get ourselves in trouble.
But right now, this is a wrap here from the historic Clay County Courthouse here in Salina, Tennessee, and may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.